Hey everyone, Tawny here. I am so excited to share that my husband and I launched a non-alcoholic beverage called Parentheses. It's technically two drinks, a before and an after. The before uses herbs that stimulate the senses, and the after uses herbs that calm the senses. Head to drinkparentheses.com and follow us at drinkparentheses. Welcome, everyone. It's your girl, Tawny, joined by my fabulous BFF.
Lisa, what's up?
Hello, my favorite Aquarius.
I think I might be your second favorite Aquarius.
You know what? My husband and my dad are, I'm surrounded by.
Oh, yeah, you
by
are.
All, yeah.
What's,
you what, are. Is, what, is that, what does that mean?
What does that mean? My dad was an Aquarius, too. Yeah.
Ooh, what was his birthday?
February 8th.
Okay, my dad's the 9th.
Oh, and Colin, our producer, is also an Aquarian. Nice to know. February 4th. Happy belated, Colin.
Yes.
Yes.
I was going to ask, so we have a guest.
We do. So we have a great guest.
We do have a guest, and now I'm curious what her astrological sign is. Maybe she'll share that with us. We are joined by the fabulous Jolene Park. She coined the term gray area drinking, which we're going to go into here in a little bit, but it really means a lot to Lisa and I because it acknowledges that alcohol use and alcohol use disorder exists on a spectrum, something that we are, as a society, embracing finally. And Jolene has written about it. She's done a TED Talk. She has programs. She is such a powerful person in the recovery space. And we are just so excited to have her with us today. First of all, Jolene, welcome. And second of all, what's your sign?
Thank you, Tawny. It's just so fun to be with you guys. It's, you know, it took a while to coordinate our schedules, and I've so been looking forward to being with you both. So I am a double Capricorn, Capricorn sun and a Capricorn moon.
Same, literally same. Oh, wait, no, I'm a Taurus moon, Capricorn rising.
Yeah.
But you're a Capricorn sun.
Yeah, I'm a double Capricorn. So what's your rising sign?
Cancer, which is the opposite.
Yeah. So you're balanced.
Well, I don't know. It's the push and pull. It's a real push and pull because the Cancer is that nurturing, coaching, mothering aspect, and then the Capricorn is like, you know, the entrepreneur that lets the mountain go. Let's climb the mountain and push all the boulders out of our way.
Yeah, that's so we're surrounded by Capricorns and Aquarians today. So I love that.
And you know, and I'm surrounded by Aquarians too. Both my parents are Aquarians. One of my really good friends is Aquarius. I two aunts and uncles. Like I have a lot of family Aquarian.
Wow.
Yeah.
They're taking over.
Yes, we're everywhere. It's the age of Aquarius.
Again, happy birthday, Lisa.
Thank you.
So Jolene, we would love to hear a little bit about gray area drinking and what, you know, anything that you want to share about this incredible work that you're doing.
Well, you know, the short of it is gray area drinking is this space between a long spectrum. And it's the space between these two extremes. And the one extreme is kind of that stereotypical, everyone has a different image in their mind of that end stage drinking, which requires medical intervention. I think it's important to have some real measurable objective because so much of this can be really subjective of how people define these different terms and things. But end stage is defined, how I define it, is medical intervention is needed. And no shame. I mean, it's the physiology needs that support, the liver, the pancreas. Alcohol is it's a very serious life or death substance. And there can get to that point with physiology where, you know, physically, we need that support to prevent seizures and death, literally.
That was me. Yeah. I had to go into the hospital at a 5-day medicated detox. Yeah.
Absolutely. And thank goodness we had that support to support the physical body to come through that. And again, yeah, like you said, your story is an example of that. And then the other end of, you know, of the spectrum is this every now and again drinking. And we can actually measurably define and objectively define that too. And the research, I mean, Huberman did his podcast in 2022, really going into this of the science. And potentially 2025, it's really looking like the government guidelines in the U.S. are going to put the stake in the ground on this. But more than two drinks in a week is too much. So every now and again drinking, because for a long time, we didn't kind of have a measurable, like, what's too much. And now too much is more than two drinks in a week. That's and most every now and again drinkers don't even drink weekly. And then, you know, the end stage drinking. So those two categories are at both ends of the spectrum. But there's a lot of people, most people who drink are in between those two categories. And that's a long and wide spectrum. And that's gray area drinking. And that's the where I, you know, do my work and coaching and training.
Yeah, I wanted to just say to that also, what I love is, and I put some, we'll put some of this in the show notes, but it's that place, to me, it's always seemed like you nailed it when I first met you years ago. And you, you know, this concept, the idea of gray area drinking, it is that kind of, I feel like it's a lot of when you wake up and you're like, I wish I didn't drink that much, or I regret, you know, just sort of feeling like, and it's also like a stress management tool, which is, you know, what society tells us all the time too. And I just do want to put in a quick plug that Jolene has a 30-day sober challenge program. And she is also, we've got all the links for Healthy Discoveries. She's a functional nutritionist, and there's a lot of science behind all of this. And if anybody, if you or if someone you know is, you know, ready to take that next step, but doesn't want to do, you know, jump into AA or something like that, and is just really trying to figure out their drinking for themselves and what sobriety can look like, I always recommend to people who ask me for resources, it's the first place I suggest is Jolene's 30-day challenge.
Thank you, Lisa. Yeah. And so you spoke to that, you know, I define kind of just the practical, measurable terms, but then the application, like how that looks, is it's my, when my clients come in, more often than not, the first thing that they'll say to me is, I function really well. And I say, you know, I know you do. That's who I work with. I mean, I did too. You know, my drinking memoir is pretty boring. I would, you know, pour a glass of wine and say, oh, screw it, I'll have another glass, and how easy it was to finish the bottle. That's my drinking story. And so many women say, that's my drinking story too. Thank goodness nothing catastrophic happened. Something certainly could have. I mean, you know, with driving or that kind of thing, it didn't. But nothing outwardly, you know, was where it's like, oh, Jolene has a problem. I was drinking like all my friends were drinking, like so many women around me were drinking. But it was that internal silent conversation of, I can't keep doing this. Like, I don't want to have another night like I did last night. I didn't want to drink that much, even though it wasn't like a Hollywood movie kind of crash and burn drinking story. And then I would go back and forth. I would quit. I mean, that's also very characteristic of gray area drinkers is, you know, they can quit. They do drink, or they do quit. I quit many times. And then I'd say, why am I being so restrictive? I don't need to quit forever. Like, I can be a social drinker. And so those are some of the characteristics of, like, I don't, you know, I'm not as bad as when I measure next to my friend group. People will tell gray area drinkers they're not that bad. They have this internal kind of silent debate. They can stop. They do stop many times. Like, those are kind of how it starts to, you know, play out in the field of what gray area drinking looks like. But it's a problem. You know, it was a great drink.
Well, and that's that comparison of like, I don't drink like that. I don't drink like her, or I don't do this when I drink, you know, that kept me sick for a really long time because I was comparing my relationship with alcohol to other people's relationship with alcohol. And by comparing, I wasn't able to see the problems at hand because I thought, oh, it could be worse. It could be worse. It could always be worse. So like the moment that I stopped comparing and I really looked in the mirror, and that was the shift for me. Jolene, I'm curious, what's the difference between gray area drinking and sober curiosity?
To me, it's all under the gray area drinking umbrella. So I just wrote a post about that on my Substack. So in my opinion, all of those terms, because there is no safe or healthy recommended intake level of alcohol, it's, you know, any type of drink. And now that doesn't mean that all drinkers have a problem, but alcohol isn't, you know, a safe, recommended, healthy, when we're talking about optimal health and disease prevention. So then, you know, we're, anyone who's drinking, problem or not, however they describe it, I'm not a problem drinker, I'm sober curious, I'm, you know, a casual drinker, a moderate drinker, a dependent drinker. In my opinion, that's all under the umbrella of gray area drinking.
Well, and the our friend, you know, Dr. Brooke Scheller, she was on our podcast recently. Her new book is about how she's a nutritionist, and she talks about how alcohol is actually a macronutrient. And it is her book is about treating alcohol as a nutrition conversation. And it's, I think it's a groundbreaking conversation because no one's really talking about that. And yeah, I just wanted to throw that in there.
Well, I mean, I love that because I love going back to the origins of things. And where this really started shifting for me in functional nutrition, when I learned about neurotransmitters and the connection with alcohol was in 2006. And who I was learning that from was the medical doctor who was training under, do you guys know Joan Matthews Larson? She wrote the book, Seven Weeks to Sobriety. So
I'm Googling now.
So she is the pioneer with this orthomolecular functional nutrition connection with alcohol. So in the 90s, she opened a treatment center which focused on nutrition. So this didn't start on Instagram, you know, last year. Early origins of, and the reason she started it, and she talks about it in her book. I mean, she's the pioneer with this nutritional medicine and alcohol. Is her son in the early 90s went to a traditional treatment center and he came out of treatment and continued to not drink and kind of white knuckled it. He was still depressed. He didn't feel good. He worked the program and tragically took his life after 6 months. And his mother said, there's more to this. He worked the program. He wasn't drinking. What's happening biochemically? And so she got her PhD in nutrition and really then started studying that nutritional connection, the physiological connection, open treatment centers, called the health recovery centers early on. And that's where I bring my research then of the neurotransmitters. And because she was doing that, saying we've got to treat physiologically before we treat psychologically. And she was putting people through treatment with those early nutritional philosophies. So it, you know, in my opinion, it starts with the biochemistry. It's that physiology first, because it's just like when we get a cold or we have the flu, we just don't feel good emotionally because we don't feel good physically. So we've got to work on the physical piece because alcohol is physical. We're changing our physical chemistry. So what now is depleted and deficient that we're trying to use alcohol for? We've got to go in and repair that from the root cause level. The nutritional medicine, I mean, that's my roots and foundation, and it's fascinating.
I love that. And so you brought up Instagram. Can we pivot to the article? The article that made me feel so seen, Jolene. We are gonna have a link to this in the show notes. So listeners, if you're interested, Jolene has a fabulous newsletter called Healthy Discoveries, and we'll have links to that. The end of December, she wrote a piece about the online sober space, sober Instagram, and just, you know, a brief history of kind of how it all started, and quoted a couple key players in our industry. And so this was the end of December, you know, like I was mid book tour, struggling with, you know, some online persona stuff. And like, who am I? Who's Tawny and who's the sober sexpert? What's the Venn diagram and how are they different? And so we can go into that, but Jolene, I would love if you could tell our listeners a little bit more about this article that really dives into the online sober space.
Where to start? I'm so curious to hear what you guys, you know, hear more from you as well. So as I said in the article, I quit drinking in 2014. I really stepped in publicly in 2016. So I had 2 years where I wasn't publicly, you know, on social media and talking about it, which I think is good. I, you know, you need that foundation when you first stop drinking. And I just, you know, and then I've been coaching ever since, from 2016 until present day. And just even from 5 years ago, of looking at, you know, the sober space and how it's being talked about, and it's turned into such a business machine. And I have a little, where, you know, it's like, are we doing what we've been saying that we're walking away from in kind of more of the traditional approach that a lot of people didn't like? You know, they said that approach didn't work for me, so now I'm doing more of this, which is great. But are we now turning this alcohol-free social media into the same kind of corporate machine in a way, and the business funnels and the clickbait and the clients? And it's just, you know, yeah, I have a lot of concern from the business side. And uh-huh. And then just the whole trajectory of, you know, some of the OGs, like both of you, are getting burned out. You know, all of us who were there in the early days, and what that's all about, because the early voices, those pioneers, are what carved the way for those who are talking today.
It's true. It's true. Yeah. I mean, it's funny. It always makes me cringe when I feel like I see something that somebody's, I feel like when we were, you know, I didn't join Instagram until my book was coming out in 2016. And, you know, there were a bunch of people just really posting because it was genuine community. And I was like, oh my God, look at this community that's here. And nobody, you know, it was all about just like getting connected and understanding. It was this discovery that to me was kind of like the first time for me personally walking into AA and going, oh my God, I'm home. Here are my people. And then to go online and be like, here are my people, was this huge revelation and amazing. And I met so many incredible people. It's how Tawny and I met. And it's how I met you, Jolene, through other people on that network. And I find it overwhelming now when I look at it. And it's a lot of, the genuine stuff is certainly still there, but there's a lot that is kind of salesy that makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah. Yeah, I completely agree with what both of you guys are saying. And the burnout is really what resonated with me most in your piece, Jolene. Just with, you know, all last year I was in book promotion mode and heavily promoting on social media and, like, you know, this quote unquote platform that I built, like Lisa said, from a really organic place of just like, hey, I'm like taking a year off booze. I'm looking for some community. I tried AA. It wasn't really my vibe. Met some cool people like you two and some others. And it is, you know, now it is, you know, Instagram in general. This is not just the sober space. This is Instagram in general. You know, I'm on there to sell stuff, realistically. Like, that's why a lot of us are on Instagram now, is because it is a quote unquote free marketing platform.
But you would be on it anyway. You were on it very actively when you had nothing to sell.
Yes, 100%. And that was like part of the persona stuff that I was struggling with, is like, yeah, it's super complex. But the burnout is incredibly real, and the visibility that this article gave me. And then I just want to thank you for, Jolene. And you quoted some other like OGs, like you're saying, you know, Sarah Heppala, Carly Benson, Annie Grace, Laura McCowan, who were all like weighing in on what we're talking about. It's really just, would you say it's like an oversaturation? Which is, because that's not a bad thing. It's like, visibility is good, community is good. So is it more of the sales angle or the dopamine and all of it?
I think it's the intersection of just Instagram in general. And like you said, this is happening in, it's not just the alcohol-free, you know, this anybody on Instagram. I mean, they could be home decorating or, you know, business or whatever. That competitive kind of grind hustle is happening. But I think the, you know, the other thing that's happening is the OGs, you know, carved the way 10 years ago for this conversation, which, thank goodness, you know, the paradigm shifted, it changed the trajectory. But I think those two together has imploded now, because there's all these voices, there's a lot of noise, and it's just like kind of jumping on the train going, this fast train of like, what are we jumping onto? And the competitive kind of knockdown, I mean, the plagiarism that happens, the...
Yes, that part.
That is a great point. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Tani, I'd love to hear what you have to say.
I am very grateful, knock on wood, that if anyone's plagiarized me, I don't know about it. I don't have personal experience with it, but I do know other people in the sober space, that including yourself, who are dealing or have dealt with plagiarism, people creating workshops and online programs, stealing actual parts of people's books,
yeah,
parts of other people's developed
work.
Courses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just a sense of, I just don't know if people just don't understand copyright, like intellectual property laws, which is serious. Yeah. I mean, you, as an attorney, Lisa, you know,
it's quite serious.
It's very serious.
I think when people take something from you, they are taking, or when someone signs up for your workshops or whatever, they are getting the benefit of the person who did that research, who knows, who has the actual real life expertise, who has done the work. And I think there is a lot of, and I think it's not just illegal in terms of, you know, stealing someone else's material. It's copyrighted, which it is. But it's also not, the piece of it is that you're not learning it from the person who actually knows it. It's being presented as someone's individual effort or their own personal work product, or come to my workshop and I'm going to tell you all about this, but they didn't, that's not their work. They didn't actually, you're not learning from the right source is what I'm saying. You may like the material, but you, there's a risk. Always, I worry about the person engaging who says, oh yeah, I'm going to do that and I'm going to take that. And then, you know, you're not getting the true benefit of the information that is really available out there.
And it's like, I'm all for using other people's work as a source of inspiration. Like there's people who teach, our friend Paulina Pinsky, she teaches a writer, an artist's way course, you know, like she takes Julia Cameron's book and she's developed a course from it. And like, it's everything that is not Paulina's words. It is, you know, Julia says this, Julia says that. I'm all for, you know, having inspiration, but it's just like, you know, as a journalist, I'm like, you just have to quote, you have to quote your source. That's all we're saying here.
And it's what gives you credibility, you know, as a journalist that can source their article, that can source the book. I want a source. Like, I don't want to, you know, try to where I didn't come up with all of this and I want to source it. That gives me credibility of like, I've done the research and I can state the research of where these early origins are with everything I talk about, with the early functional nutrition, with the trauma work, with gray area drinking. It started in nutrition research. And that's what, like, I don't understand why people don't want to, when you footnote, I mean, that's, you know, you're writing your thesis, you're writing your, you footnote it and you're a researcher, you're a journalist, you've sourced it. And it covers your ass, because then if somebody comes back and, you know, they're like, well, I don't agree with this. You're like, well, go talk to the originator. Yeah. It's not mine. It's so why people want to put themselves in that. And I don't understand. I don't know. But, you know, I stepped into this with 15 years as a small business, you know, entrepreneur owner. I had been in business, running my own business, for 15 years. And, you know, I now have 25 years of healthcare background. I mean, I went through all the pre-nursing classes, know how to, you know, charting when you chart as a nurse and you've got to document pieces. And so I come in with that, in that nutrition background. And I just, it makes me a little sad that, you know, I mean, this isn't, I'm just going to say it. This isn't a multi-level marketing. Like, oh, I can just do this from my couch for some extra money.
Yes.
This is serious. These are serious pieces. I mean, you know, alcohol is life or death. People can die going through withdrawal. I'm not trained in that area. And again, I'm very upfront about, you know, and I think people need to be more self-disclosing, more revealing of I harp this when I've been training coaches since 2018, of where your lane is, where your scope of practice is. And it's just with this type of work, it's just really important. And honestly, I'm a little confused when I look at some of the people jumping in, and it's like, do you know what you're jumping into?
Yeah.
Ethically, right. just professional ethics and personal integrity.
Well, I wonder, you know, I have a theory. I think we're seeing a lot of this plagiarism, again, not just in the sober space. This is every subculture is, and everything, everyone is seeing this. But I think it's because more people are self-publishing books. I think there's even newspapers are losing fact checkers. You know, online websites don't really have fact checkers anymore. That is now an editor's job. But it's also, you know, these social media platforms are they are publishing platforms. So there are people, you can just publish anything you want as an Instagram bio or as an Instagram copy in a post. No one's fact checking that because, like you said, Jolene, there's so much noise. There's for the person that you are plagiarizing to actually see what you're doing, like, that's hard to do.
It's
because there is so much noise.
Yeah.
And I know there's a real call. I mean, because coaching, you know, I mean, this is the industry I stand on. I train coaches. I know there's a real call, rightfully so. I agree with it, of really checking credentialing and all that. And what I say to that too is, and this goes for coaching, nurses, doctors, acupuncturists, it doesn't matter. They can have gone to the best, you know, credentialing school and still be really slimy people. So I always want to kind of give that caveat of like, yes,
it's a great point.
Unless you want to check people's credentials, but just because they have credentials doesn't mean that they're really slimy with their business ethics. So it's not the end all be all of checking. I think people need to go to good accredited training programs, but it's just also the call for people on a personal level. Just be a decent person.
And I completely agree with everything you just said. And I'm wondering, like, I don't police. So I'm not going to say this is like not sober behavior. So I'm looking for a better way to say it, but like, lying, plagiarizing, using someone else's work and hard, like the hard work that other people have done, using that to make money and claim it as your own. Like, that's not recovery behavior, you know, like that's coming from a place like, does that sound judgmental? Like, I don't know. What do you guys think?
No, it doesn't at all. Because we also have to look at what we're dealing with here, alcohol and mental health.
And
it's playing out in the Instagram. You know, people are not drinking, but we're seeing their mental health issues, which is disturbing.
That's a great way to put it. Is there, just because you stopped drinking doesn't mean you have your shit together, and it doesn't mean that you are authorized to do any particular thing. Like, you guys both had your own private sobriety, which is great. You know, like, you had time to work on that before you went public with your work. I didn't. And I think that's why I've been struggling so much with online persona. Because my first year of sobriety, it was just a social experiment. I just quit drinking for a year and I posted about it and I blogged about it. It was something that I wanted to do as an experiment. And so I've just been open ever since then. So now with, you know, and I leveraged that into getting a book deal. And, you know, like, I am very happy with the trajectory of my career. But now I've been sober for 8 years. The book is out. So I'm just like, what now? Now I'm asking myself, what do I want out of my relationship with social media?
Yeah. And I want two parts I want to say on that. The first is, unfortunately, those days are gone. Those early days where you were blogging in real time, it was beautiful. It was authentic. Again, your integrity was there. It helped you. It helped others. And those were the early days, and it was helpful. I just don't see those early days anymore, and that makes me sad. Now, the other part of this goes then to the burnout of it and the nervous system. And, you know, those of us who are canaries in a coal mine, who have that sensitivity gene, we're like, this isn't right. We can feel it in our bones. We can feel the misalignment with this. And of course we're burned out. Of course we're feeling drained, because we're like swimming in the stream that's going the wrong direction, and we feel it. And so then this, you know, this goes back to the nervous system piece and the slowing down. You know, there's a whole kind of hustle culture out there. And when we're already speaking some truth and, you know, seeing the truth about alcohol, we can see the truth with these other things, with business and the pace in which we're moving. For me, menopause is huge. I mean, it's a huge transition of like, I can't do dancing reels. Like, there's a real reckoning of who am I and what am I doing?
Yes.
I want that. I desire it. It's why I wrote that post. I'm not sure how to get that, but I miss it because I know so many are authentic, you know, as you both are.
Well, Jillian, I wonder if, before we go into the music minute, is that on Substack now? It feels like that might, the community you're talking about, is that on Substack?
Well, it's certainly why I jumped to Substack almost a year ago. I moved last April. I do think so. We're back to some of more of those original blogging days where it's that longer form writing of just that it's not always a sell of, you know, kind of that quick little 3-second soundbite, and more of hearing people's hearts and hearing what's really going on. And certainly, you know, those who are burning out in the alcohol-free space I'm seeing go to Substack. So yeah, I think there's a trajectory, a movement over there.
Well, let's talk about music.
I wish I had a
No, it's true. I mean, it's good to be talking about this because it's a real thing. And I do, like, what your article really brought to mind for me was a feeling that I had inside that was sort of like, I see a lot of people like self-appointed experts in a lot of things. And I always worry about that, right? Like that, mm-hmm. You know, like we've been talking about, it's life and death. This is big stuff. And I think it's a really important thing for listeners to understand that there are incredible resources out there, incredible people to follow on social media to, you know, learn from and all that, but just to be really diligent about checking out who you're following and what their background truly is. Are they the right person delivering the right message?
And I just want to say really quickly too, the regurgitated kind of, you know, alcohol free, it's just this magic thing and life is just wonderful, right? And you lose weight and your skin is great and your, you know, abundance like you never imagined. And it's like, not drinking is incredible. Like it's a great choice, but it doesn't solve all the problems and all, you know, everything that's going to come up afterwards. And so I really have a problem with that kind of marketing too. It does a real disservice. It's, you know, it's a very complex thing. There's trauma pieces that, you know, there are all these pieces around alcohol, and it's not just this simple, you quit drinking and now your skin glows.
Right. Exactly.
It can. I actually wrote a piece for Mike.com about, you know, how it's about how there's, you know, everyone's obsessed with their 7-step skincare routine, but you're drinking alcohol. And it's like, there's a disconnect here. So that was actually a fun piece to research.
Well, I mean, I'm 53. I haven't drank for 10 years. I've done nothing to my skin. I've never injected or filtered or anything. Fillers. And I, you know, I attribute that to, I have not drank for 10 years.
Yeah.
So I'm not knocking it, but I'm saying it's one piece of, you know, a much bigger pie that's going on when we're drinking and when we quit drinking.
I love this conversation. This is really great because I think a lot of people don't really know the behind the scenes of our little sober, our sober verse, you know, I mean, it really is, it's kind of like a reality show, you know, there's these, you know, main, main characters, and then there's the supporting characters, and then some people are the villain for a week, and it's a lot.
Well, and the behind the scenes of running a business. Again, I've been an entrepreneur now for almost 25 years, where, you know, I'm my sole provider. I'm not married. I went in 1 year in that whole time where I was an in-house wellness coordinator and was, you know, got a paycheck. But otherwise, for 25 years, I mean, it's been me, myself, and I, and it's not easy. I mean, it's why I drank a lot too. Yeah. It's the peaks and the valleys of entrepreneurship. And so that makes me sad as well of seeing this just portrayed as like, oh, you can just get rich and be this sober coach. And there's just so many dynamics of we need to come back to reality and ground our nervous systems and really be intentional about who we're serving and what we're saying. Because this is, you know, I take it very seriously.
I mean, it's serious. It's life or death. Okay, before we talk music, if someone's listening and they have no idea what you mean when you say we need to reground our nervous systems, can you just give like a quick explainer of what that is and maybe like one or two tips on how you can find some homeostasis in your nervous system, especially in an age of social media?
Yeah. Watch my TED talk because I go through my NOURISH acronym and the 7 points are nature, your breath, community, different communities for different people, whatever resonates with your nervous system, food, movement, stillness, and creativity. So any of those 7 things, they can, that doesn't have to be an expense. It can be portable. It can be very accessible. But right now, you know, I can put my feet on the ground, even being inside, and just notice the texture of the hardwood floor under my feet. And is there coolness or warmth under my feet or tingling or just that texture of the ground? And when my mind can feel that ground, literally, then the muscles can start to anchor in and relax. When the body feels calm, the mind can start to feel calm. And so we can do that with nature. We can do that with our breath. It can start to settle and soothe the nervous system. Certain foods can do that, certain movements. And there's no kind of, everybody needs to, you know, go do a spin class. It's what is that movement for you that starts to settle and soothe and ground, which just means kind of that anchored feeling versus your head is whirling and spinning, but you feel like, okay, I can take a breath because I'm anchored versus spinning. And then again, that's, you know, what I teach and work with clients and go on for weeks about that whole process, but it can be very simple. It doesn't have to be complicated.
I really like that anchored versus spinning. That's a good, that's a really good visual. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
And we have links. We're going to links in the show notes directly to the TED Talk, to Jolene's Substack, to Jolene's Healthy Discovery site where you can see the Sober Challenge, all of that. So she is really just got so much great information. I hope everybody digs in.
So the most important question, Jolene, which version of Jolene is your favorite, Dolly Parton or the White Stripes?
Oh, Dolly Parton, definitely.
Okay.
but I actually really like Dolly Parton and Miley Cyrus, who's her.
Oh, yeah.
They have a good version. Yeah, definitely the Dolly Parton version.
Didn't she write Jolene and 9 to 5 in the same day?
Did she? No. Jolene's older than 9 to 5, right?
But I think she wrote them at the same time. I could also be spreading fake news. I think I heard that. I might have just, you know, Jolene, I probably saw it on an Instagram meme and I just believed it. I need to fact check it. Yeah. Abraham Lincoln said that.
I was born before the song came out, so I wasn't named after the song.
I saw a great version of that song at the Grammys 1 year. It was Dolly Parton, John Mayer, and someone else. And I can't remember who the third person was, but it is an iconic song. I love that song.
I do too. I do too.
It was Jolene and I Will Always Love You that she wrote in the same day.
Oh, okay. Does it say what year that was?
Let me see. Hold, please.
Hold, please.
I think it's 1973.
Yeah.
This says 72, but yeah.
Which is well before 9 to 5, because that was for that movie.
Yeah. And a lot of people probably, listeners probably didn't know that she wrote I Will Always Love You. You know, that was her song first.
Which then Olivia Newton-John sang.
Oh, did she? No, that was Whitney.
Oh,
right. Yes, yes.
This is just turning into the Dolly Parton trivia hour, and I love it.
Joey, it's funny because people either break into song, you know, when they first meet me, or people are just like, what are you talking about? I've never heard that song. So there are people who don't know the song.
I bet a lot of our listeners have never heard that song.
Well, we'll link to that in the show notes first and foremost, because Jolene, are there any songs that you're currently obsessed with, or any songs that are meaningful to your recovery?
This is such, I'm such not a music person, but I am a child of the 70s and 80s. And so I love anything classic rock, anything from the 70s and 80s. And I was thinking about this. I really like Bon Jovi.
I love Bon Jovi.
Like, you know, his, what is it? You Give Love a Bad Name.
A Bad Name.
And yeah. It's My Life and Living on a Prayer. Like I love those songs. So
I grew up in Jersey, so I'm a big Bon Jovi fan.
Yeah. I'm just a classic rock girl.
As are we.
Yes. Yeah, that's the right answer, Jolene. That is correct. Congratulations.
Yes. You win Recovery Rocks.
Well, you know, like music today, I'm just like, I don't know. Music.
Yeah. I get stuff sent to me from my niece. That's how it works. She's 9. She's 20. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Can you also have her send me things? Because I really don't know either.
I'll worry like, what she just sent me.
Yeah. Like I keep my finger on the pulse of, you know, what the kids are listening to.
That's right.
It's also just, I would rather listen to The Doors than just about anything or the White Stripes.
True.
Cool. Well, Jolene, we are so, so grateful for this conversation and for all the work that you have done and that you continue to do in the recovery space.
Yeah. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. When I formulate the answer to all this, I'll come back on.
Yes.
Thanks for hosting keeping the conversation going. I think I think the more we talk about it, just like alcohol 10 years ago, it's the elephant in the room, and I think we need to not just kind of stay on the train and ride the train just because it's moving. I think continuing to talk about it and doing it differently, because a lot of people feel like we do. I know they do.
Definitely. And even if, you know, I know the online alcohol free space is a very specific community, but there are topics that we touched on that are universal, like social media, burnout, et cetera. So something that really has been helping my burnout is Emily Nagoski's book, Burnout, that has an accompanying workbook that is all about how to unlock the stress cycle. And the workbook has been really helpful for me. So if you're listening and you are struggling with any of that, I highly recommend, either that book or workbook.
That's good to know. I have her book on Kindle, but I'll check out her workbook. Thanks.
Yeah. She just, you know, adapts it to, you know, writing prompts and grounding exercises that you can do to unlock the stress cycle. And, thank you, Jolene. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And we'll have you back when you have solved, social media for the world.
I look forward to it.
Yeah.
Thanks, Jolene. We'll see everybody next week. Thanks for listening. We hope you like what you heard. If so, please hit subscribe and consider rating and reviewing us so others can find us. Tawny, how can our listeners find you?
You can find me at Tawny M. Lara on all of the social medias. And you can find my blog, sobrietyparty.com. Lisa, how can we find you and your amazing book?
My book is Girl Walks Out of a Bar, and it is available at bookstores everywhere and online. And you can find me at lisasmithadvisory.com. And I'm on social media at Girl Walks Out. Thanks for listening.